Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30%. Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed. Fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Can you pause it? Sergeant, do you happen to see in this shot, just for orientation, do you see my client, Ms. Reed?
I'm sorry, I was paying attention to the two gentlemen.
That's fair. That's kind of an unfair question. Could you, if we play this a few more seconds, could you look around, scan around, and tell me if you see someone that you believe is my client?
Yes, I will try.
Let's go ahead and play. And pause it. Do you see anybody that looks like Ms. Reed?
Yes, I believe she's in top right corner of the frame talking to Mr. O'Keefe and I believe 2 other gentlemen.
Long hair?
On your client?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and play this up to 1108, please. Is that up to 1108? Okay, thank you. We can take that one down briefly. This is, if we'd have the lights, thank you. Sergeant, this is at the waterfall just before midnight on January 29th, 2022, correct? What you just saw.
That footage is from the waterfall. Just before midnight on 28th.
I'm sorry, my mistake. On the January 28th, 2022.
Correct.
Going into midnight, January 29th, 2022.
Yes, sir.
All right. This would be just minutes before everyone headed out of the waterfall and went back to towards Fairview, correct?
Not everyone. The band didn't go to the Fairview.
Well, obviously, I'm not talking about the band or the bartenders. I'm talking about Brian Albert, Brian Higgins, Jen McCabe, Matt McCabe, John O'Keefe, Karen Reed, those folks. correct?
It's before some of those individuals left the bar and headed to 34 Fairview.
If we could push to runtime 1635, 1722, while you're queuing that up, did you see, after I asked you the initial time about the stance that the two men were taking, Brian Albert and Brian Higgins, did you see them continue to take what could be reasonably described as a fighting stance toward each other, even in jest?
They were squaring off and roughhousing, yeah.
Okay, what does squaring off mean?
Facing an opponent in like wrestling or a martial art, I guess.
Hands up?
Yes, squaring off, yeah.
You are former military?
Yes.
And current law enforcement?
Yes.
Is hand-to-hand fighting taught in both military and paramilitary organizations like law enforcement?
I had hand-to-hand combat training in the Marine Corps. I had defensive tactics in law enforcement capacity in the Marine Corps, federal, local, and state academies.
Are you aware that Brian Albert is former military?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
I am aware that Brian Albert is former military.
And Brian Albert was also a Boston police officer.
I am aware of that as well, yes.
Are you aware that Brian Higgins was former military and a combat veteran?
Now I am, yes.
And are you aware that Brian Higgins, at the time this was taken, this video was taken, was also a federal law enforcement agent?
I was aware, yes, I was,
okay.
Yeah.
If we can go ahead and run at 1635 to 1722 with the court's permission.
Okay.
If you can pause it. Can you describe for the jurors what you see Brian Albert and Brian Higgins doing in this footage?
Based on my understanding, it looks like he's giving him the Heimlich maneuver or abdominal thrust, I guess. I don't know what he's doing.
Brian Albert's got his hands around Brian Higgins, correct?
That's what it looks like from here. I have no idea what he's doing.
Could it be described as wrestling or grappling?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play it. Thank you. If we take that down. During the course of reviewing this video, or the entirety of the video, not just the clips that you just reviewed, did you see where John O'Keefe was, generally speaking, relative to Brian Higgins and Brian Albert?
Throughout the entire time?
He wasn't standing still, I understand that, but generally, was he standing with them, or was he closer to the bar in the back of the video?
I believe after Mr. O'Keefe arrived and embraced a few people with hugs, I guess I've had to estimate most of the time he was on the other side of the table, which would be closest to the bar area.
And after you saw Mr. O'Keefe walk in and greet everybody with salutations, did you ever see him interacting with Brian Higgins and Brian Albert throughout the evening again? On this video?
On this video, I did not know.
I'd like to play runtime one more clip, Your Honor. Runtime 1915 to 1957, about 45 or 50 seconds. you pause it? Just to orient the jurors, can you see any individuals that you earlier described, Brian Higgins, Brian Albert, John O'Keefe, Karen Reed, any of those individuals in this clip as yet? Or do we need to play it a little further?
I would need you to play it a little bit further, please.
Is it possible, with the court's permission, to zoom in on the upper portion of the video?
Okay.
If you could center that just a little bit to the, toward the right. Other way. There we go. Thank you. And if we could go ahead and play that from 1915 to about 1957. Pause it. Do you recognize the three people center screen now?
I really can't make it out. I would have to be assuming.
I don't want you to assume.
Guessing. I can't make it out.
Okay, let's
to identify each individual.
Let's play it forward if we can. One more time. At this point, go ahead and pause it. At this point, can you make out any individuals?
Yes. Okay. At this point, I can say that that looks like Brian Higgins in the middle of the three gentlemen.
What is he wearing?
It looks like a hooded sweatshirt.
Okay. And the person to his, sorry, let's do it from your perspective or the juror's perspective. The person to the left of Brian Higgins.
I believe that's Brian Albert.
And the person to the right of Brian Higgins?
To the right from my perspective?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I believe that's Chris Albert, but I'm not positive.
Okay,
I'm not positive.
Go ahead and play it. Stop. Did you see Brian Higgins just do something?
I was not paying attention to his gesture. We have to replay that, please.
Does it appear he's looking a particular direction?
He is looking in a particular direction based on that frame, yes.
Is that toward the bar area?
It's in that direction. I don't know exactly where he's looking, whether he's looking at the bar, to the right of the bar. I can't tell from this.
Okay, okay. And John O'Keefe, you indicated earlier that John O'Keefe, that's where you saw him most of the video, toward the bar area, to the right of the bar.
If you scroll to push the screen to the right, I can tell you where Mr. O'Keefe is.
With the court's permission.
Yes.
Do you see Mr. O'Keefe in that group of people?
I cannot make him out. Could you play the video? Maybe he is behind an individual?
Let's go back to, if with the court's permission, I'd like to go back to the full video.
Okay.
And let's play it from here. Pause it. Could you see what was happening with Brian Higgins?
He was gesturing to someone. I was trying to see Mr. O'Keefe. We were talking about Mr. O'Keefe, so I apologize.
Understood. With the court's permission, could I play the video one more time with it focused on the other side of the bar?
Okay.
Thank you. Last time.
Can you tell me who to focus on, please,
yes,
so I'm not looking for the wrong
sure,
person?
Sure, sure. Pause it. Do you see John O'Keefe there?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can you point to where he is for the jurors, please, on both televisions?
Mr. O'Keefe is right there wearing the sweatshirt, multi-tone gray sweatshirt with the hood on it and his hat.
And this, on the other TV?
Right there. He's appears to be at the bar paying the bill.
Okay. With this perspective, could we just go ahead and play that the 30 or 45 seconds one more time? And then please focus on Mr. O'Keefe. Pause it. Do you see where Mr. O'Keefe is looking at this point?
Yes.
Where is he looking? What direction?
Well, from this vantage point, it looks like he's looking to the left on the screen at the individual appears to be conversing with.
Okay. Go ahead and play it. Pause it. And what about now?
Same individual.
Okay.
He's still engaged in conversation.
Pause it. And what about now?
He's taking a sip of beer.
Right. Which direction is he looking?
In the same direction.
Okay. Go ahead and play. And go ahead and pause it. We could go back out to the full screen. At this point, does it appear in the video that Brian Higgins, Brian Albert, Chris Albert have all left the bar?
There's someone standing across the table from Mr. O'Keefe to his rear. I don't know who that is, so I can't testify to that the others have left.
Given this perspective, now that we've seen both of them zoomed, do you have an opinion as to whether or not it appeared that Mr. Higgins was gesturing toward John O'Keefe just before he left the bar?
Given this perspective, he might have been. I don't know who he was gesturing at.
Okay. We can have the lights up and take that down. I want to change gears for a second. Let me ask one more series of questions, if I could. Sergeant, what we've just seen was literally Brian Albert, Brian Higgins leaving Waterfall to go to a different location. What was the location they were heading to, based on your investigation?
They were heading to 34 Ferry Road.
And shortly thereafter, who else followed to go over to 34 Fairview?
I'm sorry, you said Chris Albert?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't, okay.
Nope.
Brian Albert, Brian Higgins, they went to 34 Fairview, and then Mr. O'Keefe also traveled there.
Thank you. I want to shift gears, if I could, to another video. Did you review certain Ring videos specifically relative to One Meadows, the outdoor Ring video servicing the carport area?
Yes, I have reviewed those videos.
If we could, Your Honor, can I have just a moment? This has previously been marked as 12A. If we could, with the court's permission, zoom in on the Chevy Traverse in the upper left-hand, the vehicle in the upper left-hand corner of the video.
Okay.
Pause it. Let's go ahead and zoom in on the upper left-hand corner. Okay. Go ahead and play. Pause. Did you see anything happen with the left rear tire of the other car in the driveway?
Which car are you talking about?
The highlighted portion, the parked car, which is the left rear tire that's zoomed in on.
I wasn't paying attention to the tire. Can you play it again, please?
With the court's permission.
Okay.
Let's try that one more time. Pause it. Okay, you can take that down. Did you see anything happen with that left rear tire of the Chevy Traverse?
Based on that video, it appears there might have been movement there.
Last year, and you've seen this video several times, correct?
I have.
You saw it during the course of your investigation, not just in the course of proceedings, correct?
Right.
Last year, you indicated that you observed the vehicle, Ms. Reed's vehicle, come near Mr. O'Keefe's car. Which one in that video was Mr. O'Keefe's car?
The Chevy Traverse.
And that would be the car that was parked and static, not moving, correct?
Correct.
Having seen this, do you still believe that the SUV came near the Chevy Traverse, or do you believe it struck the Chevy Traverse?
With the clarity of that video, there is a lot of movement in the shot. Not with great certainty. It appeared that there was movement of the tire, but I cannot say with 100% certainty that there was movement.
You can't say with 100% certainty that that tire literally shifted and wiggled upon some sort of impact?
Based on the video, there appeared to have been movement.
Okay. You had this video for the first 3 years of your investigation. You had this video very early on, correct?
That's correct.
And for the first several years of your investigation, did you either deny, well, let me ask it this way, was it your assessment that the SUV did not contact that Chevy Traverse?
My assessment with the totality of it all was that based on the video, there was no damage that occurred to either vehicle at that point in time.
That wasn't my question, Sergeant. My question was your assessment that there was no contact between the two vehicles? Is that what you assessed during the course of your investigation?
I did not assess that there was no contact, no.
Even as recently as last year, you testified in another proceeding that the SUV came close to the Chevy Traverse, correct?
Yes, I said there's a lot of movement in that shot. It's difficult to tell if there was more for me to observe and push that certainty level up. I would have testified differently.
As you've seen the video enhanced, zoomed in on, do you wish to amend that testimony from last year?
Ask it differently.
Sure. Given what you've just seen, what is your testimony now about whether or not that SUV struck the Chevy Traverse?
There is movement of the tire.
There is movement of the tire. Could be an earthquake. Could be someone standing there pushing the car. I'm asking you, based on what you just saw in this video, do you believe that the SUV struck the Chevy Traverse?
Logically speaking, the two vehicles had to have come into contact for the tire to move.
They had to have collided, correct?
At a slow speed, yes.
Okay. Which area of the SUV collided with the Chevy Traverse? The front, the rear?
It appears from the video it's the right rear area of the Lexus SUV that comes into contact with the Traverse.
What time was this video taken?
I believe that is at 5:07 a.m., if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, Sergeant. I want to change gears again, if I could, and ask you about a dog. You're aware that the Alberts, Nicole Albert, Brian Albert, had a dog that they named Chloe on on January 28th, 29th of 2022, correct?
Objection.
I'll allow the question. Were you aware of that?
At what point in time, sir?
January 28th, 29th, that area.
Was I aware that they owned a dog on January 28th or 29th?
No. Are you aware now that on January 28th or 29th, they owned a dog? There was a dog in the house.
Now I am aware, yes.
Okay. During the course of your investigation, you learned that, correct?
Yes.
During the course of your investigation, did you also become aware that the Alberts got rid of their family dog?
Objection.
I'm going to see you at sidebar on this, please.
Sure. I think I forgot where I left off. May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Sergeant, at some point during the course of your investigation, did you learn that the Albert family had gotten rid of the dog named Chloe?
We learned that they no longer cared for the dog. I don't know if get rid of is accurate.
Well, they don't have it anymore, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what would you call it?
Giving it up for adoption, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a pet owner.
What if they didn't give it up for adoption?
I'm sorry?
What if they didn't give it up for adoption?
Rehomed, I guess.
Okay. So it's no longer with them, right?
Correct. They no longer own the dog.
Okay. So they got rid of it. It's like you get rid of a car, right? Right?
You can get rid of a car, yeah.
Okay. And you can get rid of a dog. That's all I'm asking.
Yes, you can get rid of a dog, yes.
Okay. At some point during the course of your investigation, did you find out that the Albert family got rid of Chloe?
We learned that they no longer owned Chloe, yes.
Okay. When did you learn that?
I cannot tell you exactly. I can tell you when we looked into it officially.
When did you look into it officially?
I traveled to the dog's home and assisted with identifying the dog and investigating that animal.
Okay. What documentation did you use to identify that animal?
It was veterinary records.
I want to stop you there. Veterinary records from whom? From the Albert family? When they...
I did not get any veterinary records from the Albert family.
The veterinary records that you did get were veterinary records that had been utilized with the Albert name? Where these veterinary records?
The veterinary records were with the vet that's caring for the dog and also owns the dog now.
Okay.
And those records also had been dated prior to when the dog was owned by the Alberts.
Okay. So other than some veterinary records that, and by the way, the dog's not even named Chloe, correct?
The new owners renamed the dog, yes.
Cora?
That's correct. Yes.
And the new owners did not get that dog from Brian and Nicole Albert, did they?
No, they did not.
They got it from a separate person. Is that right?
That is correct.
Separate person named
Riley?
That's her last name, yes.
And did this person, Riley, have any records showing purchase of Chloe or adoption of Chloe from the Elvis?
No.
The you did write a report about the newest owner of this animal, this dog, correct?
I documented my trip to the location and the steps I took and services I provided in the investigation.
And in that report, you omitted the name of the new owner?
I'm not sure.
Did you omit the location of where you actually came in contact with this animal?
You're going to have to show me my report. I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay, I apologize about that.
No problem.
I'm the one slowing us down just a little bit. May I approach?
Yes.
Did this, reviewing your report, refresh your recollection as to whether or not the new owner's identifying information is in this report?
It did.
And is that information in the report?
No, it is not.
You've got, there are some veterinary records that you supplied along with your report, correct?
Yes.
That you gathered?
That
you gathered along while you were doing
it? Yes, yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you.
If you'll take a look at those four documents. Do those appear to be the veterinary records that you gathered related to this animal?
Yes, it does.
Do any of those records, any of the veterinary records, the four pages that you're holding, even include the name Cora or the name of the new owner?
I browsed through it, and no, it does not appear that Cora or the new owner are included in any of these four pages.
May I approach?
Yes.
You don't have any transfer records for Chloe, correct?
All the records that are provided by the owner.
I'm going to go through a series of questions, Sergeant. If you can answer yes or no, that might make it go a little faster. You don't have any transfer records, correct?
I wouldn't know what it looks like. That's why it's even quicker me telling you that that's all the records that I have.
Okay. I want an answer to my question. You okay. don't have any transfer records.
I don't know what a transfer record would look like. So
the answer
is
no.
I don't know.
Okay. You don't have any rehoming records.
I don't know.
You don't have any purchase records.
I don't know.
The only records you do have are those four pages of veterinary records that don't have the name Cora and don't have the new owner's name. Correct?
That's correct.
You would agree, shifting gears for a second, that timely report writing obviously is an important aspect of any investigation, correct?
It is important, but we can only write reports as feasibly and possibly we're capable of doing. Sometimes investigations are rapid, so you can't write a report. You take notes, and it's some time goes by before you actually document the information on an official report. The information's there, it's gathered, it's maintained by the investigator, it's shared, it's acted on at times, but the official reports might take some time to write.
So obviously if you're, you know, like you said, things are fast moving in an investigation, it might be that you interview a witness on a Tuesday, you're super busy on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it might be Friday before you can even sit down and draft a report about that interview that you did on Tuesday, correct?
Different circumstances dictate differently.
That would be completely wrong.
Yes, it is.
But most of the time, it's best practices, and you're taught, and you teach your subordinates that it's best practices to reduce to writing and memorialize a report as close in time to the event in question that's being memorialized as you can, right? Obviously. Perfect world.
In the perfect world, we'd write it as it's happening.
Are you aware that more than 20 official police reports in this case were not recorded for more than 100 days from the time that the event in question was done, was being memorialized?
I did not know the exact date and delay.
Are you aware that there are 11 reports that are more than 300 days from the time of the event that was being memorialized?
I was not aware, no.
Are you aware that there are 3 reports that are more than 400 days from the time of the event that was being memorialized?
I am not aware, no.
Are you aware that there are 4 reports that are more than 500 days from the time of the event that's being memorialized?
I am not aware, no.
Are you aware that the longest delay of any report in this investigation was 581 days?
I am not aware of that, no.
You became aware early on in your investigation of 2 individuals named Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxson, correct?
They are witnesses, yes.
Both Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxson, you learned, were outside 34 Fairview in the early morning hours of January 29th, correct?
We did learn within our investigation at some point, yes.
And you learned, Sergeant, very early on in that investigation because you interviewed Ryan Nagel in February of 2022. It's just days after the event, correct?
I'm not sure of the exact date.
Obviously, as you just said, you became aware that Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxson were witnesses in your homicide investigation, important witnesses, you'd agree, correct?
They were witnesses.
You learned that
they arrived at the house at 34 Fairview sometime after Karen Reed and John O'Keefe arrived and pulled up behind their parked SUV, correct?
Objection.
I'm going to allow that.
Can you repeat that, please?
Sure. You learned that where they fit into the investigative puzzle is that they pulled up behind Karen Reed's SUV when Karen Reed and John O'Keefe arrived at 34 Fairview. They pulled up sometime after that and pulled up right behind them, correct?
That's not correct.
What is not correct about that?
They arrived simultaneously. Karen Reed took a right onto Fairview. They yielded to them and followed towards 34 Fairview, stopping at the driveway as Karen Reed proceeded further up.
Did you listen to the testimony in this case up to this point?
No.
There's a sequestration order, correct? Correct?
Yes, yes.
Means you can't listen to the testimony of witnesses, eyewitnesses, who are testifying in front of these jurors.
Correct, yes.
You don't know how witnesses have testified from that witness box in front of these jurors, correct?
I have no idea.
Okay. So your information is that they pulled up simultaneously, correct?
Objection.
Is that what you just testified to?
That's my memory from what the interview produced.
You certainly knew that there were eyewitnesses to the condition and the location of Ms. Reed's SUV, correct?
Yes, from their interviews, yes.
And you also are aware that they would have been in a position to see the occupants of Ms. Reed's SUV as they were behind it and then pulled around it, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you become aware that they were in a position behind the SUV and as they pull around it, they could still see the SUV?
Objection.
Sustained.
You knew what potential role they played in your investigation as eyewitnesses, correct? Generally?
When we interviewed them, when we learned of their existence, when we interviewed them, we collected information based on their recollection.
Okay. My question was, you're aware that they had a certain perspective as it relates to the SUV that night. Early morning
out, right? Based on their interviews, they had a perspective with the brake light being on constantly.
I'm asking you what they said. I'm asking you if during the course of your investigation you learned that Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxson had a perspective. They were eyewitnesses to certain things.
Yes.
Relative to the SUV, correct?
Yes.
You instructed your subordinate, Michael Proctor, to interview those witnesses in August of 2022, correct?
I'm not sure when they were interviewed. I don't have a memory of instructing him to go interview them.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you.
When you take a look at that document and tell me if you... Why don't you just tell me whether or not that refreshes your recollection as to communications you had with Michael Proctor, specifically. Thank you, Sergeant. Does that refresh your recollection as to a communication that you had with Michael Proctor?
Unfortunately, it does not. I will take the document at face value. I do not have a memory of having these communications, but I will take the document if it's authentic and it is true and accurate that it took place. But I do not have a memory of sending these text messages.
May I approach that?
Yes.
Also, my name's misspelled in there. Is that from the extraction or where is that from?
Couldn't tell you. Wasn't me.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I can't take credit for that.
Thank you.
Thanks. If your memory is not refreshed about that particular communication, do you remember in general communicating with Michael Proctor about interviewing Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxim?
I do not know. I'm sorry.
Would that have been something that you would have found important relatively early on in the investigation? Now, these are eyewitnesses. Let's get them interviewed.
Yes, it is important to interview anyone that's an eyewitness. Sometimes it takes longer because... Are you listening? I'm sorry.
Thanks.
You asked the question. I just wanted to answer.
I know the answer to my own questions. Go ahead.
Okay. So while we want to interview every eyewitness, sometimes an important fact is already detailed and witnessed by another witness. So in this situation, we had already interviewed one of the occupants, the one that was driving, the one that had the observed the events taking place. And we asked him if we were going to talk to the other two, would they have the same recollection, observations? Did they leave the vehicle to go in the house at all? Anything like that? Anything different? So that's...
Okay. So it would be important, obviously, to interview witnesses in a timely manner.
In some instances, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember when Trooper Proctor actually interviewed Ricky D'Antono and... When Michael Proctor interviewed Ricky D'Antono and Heather Maxim?
I do not have a memory of that, no. I'm sure a report would indicate when.
May I approach you?
Yes.
I may have misspoken. Sergeant, take a look at that. I thought that was a report from somebody else. It's a report from you, actually. Tell me if that refreshes your recollection as to when Ricky D'Antono was actually interviewed.
Yes, this report authored by me was states that on Saturday, September 2nd, he was interviewed.
What year?
2023.
So that would have been a year and a half later, correct?
Yes.
Do you believe that's a timely report, or rather a timely interview for an eyewitness, the gravity of which is described in your report?
We again, perfect ideal world scenario, it would be quicker.
So that would be not no excuses, not throwing bars, but that would be untimely, correct? A year and a half later?
We do the best we can.
You indicated that your memory was that the cars arrived simultaneously. That's a interview with Ricky D'Antono. You see the highlighted portion?
I see it.
Ricky D'Antono actually told you that the car
objection.
Was parked, correct?
Objection.
The objection sustained.
Your Honor, may we approach briefly?
Yes, can I see that, please?
May I, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Isn't it true that when you interviewed Ricky D'Antono, he indicated that upon their arrival at home,
at the home, sorry, 34 Fairview, who had a dark-colored SUV, was parked in front of the home facing up towards Chapman Street. That's what he told me, correct?
That's what the report indicates for Ricky's interview, yes.
And in fact, you wrote this report based on Ricky's interview.
I wrote that report, yes.
Thank you. If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm just about to start.
Why don't we come to sidebar now from the
floor? Sure.
Jurors, especially as this moves along, I think it becomes more important for me to talk to the lawyers about scheduling to give you some idea on how we're doing. I can tell you that everybody's in agreement that we are right on schedule. So we're not behind schedule. Optimistically, maybe we're still a little bit ahead, but we are on schedule for many purposes. Monday, I'm going to ask you all to come in at 10. So we'll start at 10 o'clock on Monday, and we will go a full day Monday. We'll leave every day next week, we'll use a full day. So we will see you next week. Those same cautions. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it and let us know. Be very careful with your social media use, and we'll be ready to see you Monday at 10.
Goodbye.
All right, so Monday we'll start with the jury at 10. If you need me before 10, please let people know so that we can deal with anything we can beforehand. I should be here. I'll be here before 10. So, all right, we'll see you on Monday.
Thank you.
All right.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. S-I-G-N-O-S.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.